Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the webinar on digital privacy, first step towards data localization. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Parekh. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. We hope we have a very interesting discussion on the Reserve Bank of India's circular of April 5th, basically giving instruction to the payment system provider of storing the payment system data only in India. Just to give a little background on what is the objective of the circular, and then we will take it forward in analyzing the circular and looking at it in a different perspective, and then seeing it how does it impact the industry and what should be the way forward. If you really look at from Indian government perspective, generally there has been a push of trying to look at all the data in India. Even earlier, there has been several papers which have been brought out by the government, which has been looking at saying that, hey, you know, should data be stored in India? Reserve Bank of India also came up with a similar circular, a similar objective, where they said that we need to store all the payment system data only in India. The reason they gave was primarily for better monitoring and having an unfettered supervisory access to data for them, for the regulatory agencies. The question we believe is that, yes, that was definitely the objective, but if that was the objective, then they would have simply said that the data should be in India. They would not have said the data should only be in India. So on back of the mind, possibly, they also may have been thinking from privacy perspective and security perspective. If the data is in India, at least from their perspective, they have a better ability to monitor from even from privacy perspective and have privacy laws also applicable to them. If it is outside their jurisdiction or if it is outside India, then even the privacy law may not be applicable, and they may be worried on how the data may be used. I wouldn't be surprised if the recent events with respect to Facebook and some of the other developments would have some impression in the mind of RBI in trying to say, hey, what if the data gets in the hand of other people? Maybe it is true, maybe it is not, but the point is that it seems that it was not only monitoring or having unfettered supervisory access was not the only objective. There was little more when it comes to coming up with the regulation. Having said it, let us go directly to what circular is, what exactly is the circular, and I will reach out to Aaron. Aaron, can you just give overview of the circular and what it seeks to cover?
Sure, Vaibhav. So essentially, as we all know, the Reserve Bank of India is India's apex bank, for, you know, the powers to regulate and make laws in the banking sector. What the circular of April 6th says is that all system providers should ensure that the entire data relating to payment systems operated by them should be stored in a system only in India. What is this data? Data should include full end-to-end transaction details, as well as the information collected, added, processed as part of the entire payment transaction, the entire payment instruction. Now, the circular also provides a carve-out to this particular requirement of storing all payments or the entire payment system data in India. This carve-out is that for a fallen leg of a transaction, if at all any, the data can also be stored in the relevant foreign country if required. This is a specific carve-out for foreign legs of a transaction. The RBI has provided payment system operators to comply with the circular within a period of 6 months and would need to report compliance by October 15th of this year. Interestingly enough, the payment system operators would also need to conduct an audit to certify that this circular has been complied with and report that audit report, submit that audit report to the RBI to show compliance with the circular. Now, this circular, as the RBI said, applies to authorized payment systems in India as well as the banks in India. And this is what the circular essentially says, however. And, one important thing, in the first paragraph of the circular itself, as to why this is being issued, is the RBI has, noticed a considerable growth in the payment system in India. And being a highly technology-dependent industry, requirement of the highest standards of safety and security is needed in the sector on a continuous basis. And in addition to what Vaibhav said on monitoring and unfettered access to the data required by the government, these are the requirements which the RBI has prescribed.
Thank you, Aaron. Ashish, I turn to you now. Can you tell the legal issues that may arise from the circular, including issues relating to cross-border storage and access to data?
Sure. Thanks, Vaibhav. So, given that this is a fairly plainly worded circular, it doesn't provide too much detail. So, in terms of definitions of what exact things that it's intending to cover, and which is why it gives rise to a few issues that we can see apparently at the face of itself. To begin with, I think, the first thing being the definition of data, what would constitute data for the purposes of this regulation, for this notification. Data is defined very widely to say that it includes end-to-end transaction details, information collected, carried, or processed. Now, given how widely worded this could possibly even include name of the individual, who's entering his or her data into the payment system, and could this by itself, intended to be protected, is the first question. And this is also a similar question, which was discussed as part of the larger privacy debate, that, whether there is a need for regulators and regulations not to brush all data by one single brush, but rather, demarcate different kinds of data depending on the sensitivity with different kinds of regulation. So one would be just in terms of, how widely worded this is, what it can encompass. So that's one possible issue that arises straight up. The second could be the fact that, it says that the data should be stored only in India. And this particular point about it being only in India is obviously something which we're going to discuss in further detail subsequently. But this was the second major issue which comes to mind. And the third thing was the exemption provided for the foreign leg of the transaction. Now, again, it's not clarified what would amount to a foreign leg of the transaction and therefore not required to be stored in India. Interestingly, the circular says that such data can also be stored in the foreign location. So it could be understood to mean that in addition to India, they're permitting such information to be stored in the foreign location. And I mean, the third possible issue which could be here is that whether there could be any conflicts with regulations of a foreign country which possibly might require its own data localization, and whether there may be any conflicts between the both. These are just initial thoughts or issues which could arise, on this.
Thank you. Thank you, Karthik. Karthik, this is a very interesting point. In fact, his first point raises an interesting situation, right? What the circular says is that all system providers should ensure that the entire data relating to payment systems operated by them are stored in a system only in India. The question which it raises, what if they also have data which is not relating to payment systems, right? But it is an overlap with the payment system data. You have to give an example of name and address and the other things. That's part of a transaction data, right? So it could be considered that it can only be stored in India. The name and address and phone number or some other details will also exist as a separate, in a separate database which is outside the payment systems transactions, right? It may not be part of end-to-end transaction system. It just overlaps. The data is just overlapped. So the question is, can I store that particular data outside India, right? Or because there's an overlap, I can't store even that data outside India. Now, that is one place where there is a gray area, and we will need to look at it or ask for clarification from Reserve Bank of India. But in absence of clarification, I would take a guess that, look, if there are certain data which are not related to payment instructions but still overlap, you may be in a position to store it outside India. You know, just like the example we gave of name, address, and stuff like that. Even though they overlap, that's a gray area under this brief circular. Just moving on, Sweta, you really need, you've been part of the industry and you've seen how it works. You know really where the circular will affect from practical perspective, where it will pinch and where it doesn't matter. You know, we may talk from legal perspective, but you really can do the practical aspect. Can you just let us know practical issues on the business side for the industry to comply with the circular?
Sure, Vaibhav, and it has been, my pleasure to come on this panel discussing industry issues. Basically, the way we are seeing it is, this has far-wide implications, because what is happening is industry is today divided. It has implications on the bank, on the payment systems, on the payment system participants, and everyone that is associated with the payment data. Right, so basically the problem that we are seeing from here is it is not restricting only storage of data, but any kind of a derivative that is relating to storage of data, right? So for example, people may have let's say a credit risk engine or a fraud risk engine, or let's say some kind of centralization that is at an offshore location. Will that be allowed? Will that not be allowed? These are the questions. Many of these banks have, second server outside India, just, from a centralization perspective. So will that continue to be allowed, or will that be, now prohibited, considering the data storage is allowed only in India? These are few questions that we are yet to kind of figure out the answer to. And that is why the industry is right now divided, because, even if for local players who do not have offshore location, they may be using some services which are actually, based out of an offshore location. And, will they continue to utilize those services is kind of, yet to be seen and analyzed. So, there are a lot of practical issues that are arising out of the wording only in India. So, while we are with the Reserve Bank, we are saying the intent is to kind of store the data in India, where, they need unfettered access to the entities. But we are of the view that it should do more with protection of data and, partly with storage of data, because, as far as your servers are located in India, and that's the mandate, Reserve Bank at all points in time will have unfettered access to the data and the entity storing the data. But all kinds of derivatives for, fraud risk engines and credit analysis, etc., those should be continued to be permitted.
Thank you, Sweta. I think you brought very several very critical and important points from industry perspective. And sometimes one does wonder that if safety was only better monitoring, why they are restricting to keep it only in India? Especially in light that new privacy laws still look up. But that we will discuss a little later. Let me go to Huzaifa. Huzaifa, can you tell what are the consequences or impact on service providers, including data analytics, processing, and cloud service providers, you know?
Yeah.
How do you think they will get impacted?
Absolutely. So let me take a lead from what Shweta said, right? We are moving towards a world, and, you know, most of us are already there, where the world is getting boundaryless. So there is so much of convergence which is happening internationally. One of the key things is, you know, things moving freely. When I say things moving freely, but of course, there has to be some bells and whistles. Looking at the new circular, right, though it is addressed to payment systems and payment gateways and banks, so the ramifications are going to be, you know, felt far and wide. The reason being that there is a lot of interdependencies on banks and payment gateways vis-a-vis third parties. So payment gateway, when it's functioning or when a bank is functioning, it obviously uses third-party service providers. One definite impact which is, you know, on cloud service providers. And in a lot of situations, the data actually, when it comes from a service angle, needs to be accessed. So the fundamental question which actually comes up vis-a-vis the circular, which says that when the data is stored only in India, can a third party who is outside India access it? That is one. Second is processing it. And third, as a result of the processing or, you know, gaining access to it, if there is any sort of third data, you know, which Shweta used the apt word called a derivative data or a derivative work, what happens to that data? Does it mean that the third party needs to actually come and, you know, physically put that in India? And of course, what do you mean by storage itself is a question. In all layman's terms, it would mean where the servers are and that's where the data resides. So that's one angle. And I'll quickly touch upon just two more points here. The other issue in terms of if the principles are so overarching and if there are business models which have interdependencies, which are, you know, cross-border interdependency, for analytical purposes or, you know, for disaster recovery management or backups, you know, purposes. All of these banks and a lot of service providers do that. Payment gateways also use, you know, these facilities. They may need to actually reinvent the entire business model to make it, you know, conformant to India, you know, actually going by the literal spirit of law. And this definitely is going to have a cost effect. If it has a cost effect on the companies, there is a likelihood that there may be a increase in charge of digital services, which is absolutely not the intent, right? Because the ethos and the motive of the government seems to be moving towards digitally India, e-payments, cashless. You know, we want to get rid of, slowly want to reduce the dependency on fiat money. So that's you know, one issue. I think the third issue being that, you know, foreign countries are also looking at India in a big way, right? Today, India is the next diamond in terms of doing business and everybody wants to come to India. When things like that are seen, there is a slight risk whereby what if certain countries reciprocate this sort of behavior and ask for data localization in their countries when Indian companies are doing business. Of course, this is a far-reaching one, but this is just one takeaway. And one last concluding point annexed or related to this point, the circular actually goes and says that when you want to undertake certain compliances and when you do those compliances, they need to be certified or it needs to be audited by a CERT empaneled auditor. Now, CERT is the Computer Emergency Response Team, you know, under the Government of India and Ministry of Information Technology. But I think this is slightly overreaching, where the audit, it doesn't need to be certified by a CERT empanel auditor, but it actually needs to be conducted by a CERT auditor. I think, you know, that's something which, again, time will test it, that, you know, how many CERT auditors are there. Of course, there's a huge list, but how many actually active, and because this is going to impact so many players. So that these are just a few quick takeaways on the ramifications so far. Yeah.
Thank you, Zeba. I think you raised several interesting points, right? And just to look at the irony of it, you know, the world or the technology is moving towards cloud, right? The whole concept of cloud is that it doesn't matter where the location is, right? And now you now need to say that, hey, that cloud, you can put data on the cloud, that's fine, but the cloud has to be based in India. So I think it is more like a private cloud or it, you know, something where you can ascertain that the servers are in India and that should be possibly good enough from compliance of the circular perspective. I think the other thing which once you raise, but you know, let me just add that the good part about circular and which goes with the objective of just better monitoring and having an unfiltered access is that they have not restricted foreign companies to get an access to the data, right? Which means that there is no restriction per se that, okay, foreign companies cannot have access to it, right? There is no such restriction. So possibly some of the peers which we may be worried about can be overcome to some extent by saying that I can find a way where, you know, the business which I was running can continue to run, at least in substantially similar ways. Also, when you look at it from perspective of processing, right? While they say even the data which is processed is covered by the definition of data, the restriction is only on the storage and not on the processing of the data. So there have been situations and where we have seen that the purpose of the fraud checking or otherwise, if I need to access data and if I need to go out and that the person who is going to be processing is sitting outside India, I don't think there is per se restriction in the circular, right, where it permits a foreign company to, let's say, access its data sitting in India, process it, and then store it back in India, right? So as long as they don't store it in their server locally, it may still comply with the circular. Again, this is just a prima facie view. A lot will depend on how things develop further and how companies are doing it. But it just seems initially that a simple access to data for processing, as long as it is not stored in foreign server, it should be fine. Again, question is, can I say that even for processing, if they take into their computer and store it in RAM for a temporary period while the processing is on, it should be considered to be storage, right? And that does raise a question. But it seems that the way the other laws have gone, including copyright law, temporary storage in RAM for purpose of processing may not be considered as a storage. You know, and especially that's not the intention of the circular. So, at least I feel that the processing outside India may still be possible. And as Vilepa mentioned, right, what about the derivative data, right? And again, as long as derivative data does not include any part of the original data or restricted data or data which needs to be stored in India, there doesn't seem to be any restriction. So it seems that there are certain things which can be done some of the companies may be able to do what they want to do, but that's something which I just thought I will share. Going back to Aaron, would you, Aaron, tell impact of sectoral data localization requirement on existing and upcoming privacy laws?
Sure. So, India right now is at a stage where we have a new data protection regime in the pipeline, and this is something which has been on for a few months now. We have the Justice Sri Krishna Committee, specially set up for the government to look at the issues faced in the data protection law in India today, to identify issues and to recommend to the government a new law to enact. So, this is the process that's happening simultaneously. and the Justice Shri Krishna committee had released a white paper in November of last year, you know, identifying numerous issues, inviting public comments across the consultative process, and also giving preliminary views, you know, on certain topics. And, you know, post that our certain physical public consultation plan. Overall, to get, you know, feedback from various stakeholders in the country.
Let me go back and ask Aaron a question which I had asked him, basically on the impact of sectorial data localization requirement on the upcoming privacy law, existing and upcoming privacy law. And I know Aaron already said a lot about it. To some extent, it should be repeated, so please bear with us. We really regret what has happened.
Thank you. So, India is actually at a point, you know, as I was saying, where we have a new data protection law being formulated. And, you know, specifically, there was a committee that was set up by the Indian government to, you know, look into the issues and to provide its recommendations on the new data protection law. The committee is headed by Shri Krishna, set up by the government. The committee, you know, released a white paper on the data protection regime in India towards the end of last year, November of last year, for public consultation to take public comments from various stakeholders. The white paper essentially identified a number of various issues, looked at overseas jurisdictions to see what other regulators, you know, are doing, and also to provide preliminary views of the committee. In fact, if we understand that the committee should be in a position to submit its report and recommendations to the Indian government sometime towards next month in May. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, what kind of views come out in the report and recommendations of the committee on the overall, you know, data protection law, which the government is in the process of being formulated. Now, why this is very relevant to us is that this circular, this move by the RBI, to localize human system data is actually at a time where we are just about, you know, to get the overall sense of things, you know, from the regulator, right, from the committee and from the Indian government.
Aaron, so I think, you know, thank you, Aaron, for the background on this. Probably I'll ask, we can move on to Karthik. Karthik, do you see any issues which foreign companies, you know, who operate in India, which actually don't have a physical presence in India and are using foreign systems, would this circular impact them in any which way?
Sure. So I think, you know, what becomes important here is that for foreign companies who don't have a presence in India or not operating in India directly, given if they're using a foreign payment gateway to that extent, this should not extend as far as them, because the notification is pretty clear that it applies to those who are regulated under the Payments and Settlements Act or banks otherwise who are licensed by the RBI. To that extent, you know, when organizations who are using system providers who are not in India, should not extend to them.
Okay, I think we are back. Sorry again, apologies. I think you already covered the issue on which arises from foreign companies offering to Indian customers.
Yeah,
thank you for taking over in the time where we were disconnected. Coming back to Sweta, can you just tell what is the way forward from here, and what does the industry request or expect from government on this?
So I think a couple of asks and couple of requests from the industry. One is basically, if the government can wait for the privacy regulations to be released, you know, then in that case we will have a more formative answer to where the data should reside and, you know, what kind of protection should be ensured for data, because at the time, And another thing is basically any kind of mirroring of data should be continued to be allowed. It could kind of you know enable credit analysis, you know, stored data abroad, storage of data abroad in kind of a you know cloud-based environment, cloud risk engines, and all of that will be facilitated if mirroring and replication of data overseas is allowed. And also, you know, maybe you know storage of data locally in a server location in India. That's the mandate that I think everybody can work with. So, you know, I think everybody will be happy to support that initiative, whoever does not kind of comply with that requirement today. And maybe, you know, RBI should consider probably giving some more time to the industry to kind of make the new requirement, because this may have large implications on different industry players.
Thank you, Sweta. I think I do completely agree with you. A lot of times the way our Indian laws change, I don't think government starts putting their business plan ahead and start thinking of how it affects the industry. So what you said really makes good sense. This has been a very interesting session, and I will soon go to question and answer. But before we reach there, Josefa, what are the views you want to say before we conclude our discussion?
So I think it has been really well by Shweta from an industry perspective. And I think just one overarching principle, probably a takeaway from the entire circular. The objective of the circular seems twofold, right? One is to ensure better monitoring by the government, and the second seems to be unfettered supervisory access. So these two seem to be the more critical parts in which data localization. But I think one of the issues probably which you know needs to be focused on more is the critical piece is data security or data protection. Now the important point you know in addition to supervision and unfettered access is that data localization, is it what you will achieve data security or data protection? They're two different things. So, you know, as Shweta rightly said, that we need to get into an environment whereby, yes, government needs unfettered access, yes, better monitoring is required. But that's not the only reason why the data should only be in India, right? If a service provider in India is sharing data or, you know, providing a copy of the data overseas and is ensuring that the data is protected, the data is secured, then the overall regime of data protection gets achieved. So I think my takeaway on this is that you can compartmentalize data localization and you can't link it to data security and data protection. They are two separate things. They are two broader points. And somewhere I think a clarification would be helpful. You know, based on the points which we've just discussed, especially in relation to that the storage can be in India, but why not allow a copy outside of India for business purposes? You know, with the industry and you know a lot of people have been voicing. Of course. With the thumb rule saying that yes, it will be secured, necessary security compliances which will be there. And in fact, those compliances are already there in our Indian law, right? The existing Indian privacy law, I know there's a new law which is going to come. But based on existing Indian laws, today you can transfer financial information overseas. There is something which restricts you from transferring financial information overseas of an Indian customer, subject to twofold. Customer agreeing to the transfer of information, and second, the transferee abiding by the terms, you know, the security conditions which have been promised to the customer. So the underlying principle of data protection and data security, if it is maintained, that should be the overall objective and not compartmentalization, saying that let's only do the data and nothing else. Though the customer is silent, but these are just thoughts, and I'm sure things will get ironed out in a positive manner.
Thank you, Zeva. You know, what you said actually made me think a little more on this, right? And it just raises an interesting question, an interesting possibility. If you really look at it, right, as you rightly mentioned, right, there is no restriction on data being transferred to outside India, subject to the two conditions which is met, with the customer consent and the other jurisdiction having similar regulation. the question really then comes to it is, if I have a data copy in India, and if I transfer to my affiliate outside India, right, and if my affiliate actually keeps a copy of data there, right, is there any violation of the circular, right? Because circular does not prohibit that. There is no prohibition on access to a foreign data, no prohibition transfer to a foreign company. So if I have a bank branch here and then I have another branch, let's say, and this hypothetical example in the US, right? If I transfer the data to another branch, right, am I violating any part of the circular? And my immediate reaction is no, right? Or if I give it to another company, which is their sister concern, as long as that company is not a payment system regulated by Reserve Bank of India, you know, there may not be any restriction on Indian company to transfer data to them and store the data outside India, right? That company. So maybe, you know, the objective of Reserve Bank of India, maybe exactly the same what they have mentioned, which is just to monitor and have an unfettered access. And maybe only is just a word they have used from just trying to be conservative rather than the objective of keeping data only in India. Maybe that may be the reason, but just from what I think is there may be ways that people can keep data outside India. Having said it, I leave this, I conclude this discussion and, you know, raise this open the floor for questions and answers. Can we have questions, please?
Sure, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Bhushan Trivedi, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the webinar. It was very insightful. I would like to get further kind of visibility on how this circular would affect the overall development of privacy framework in India. I think there was some discussion on it, but it would be great to have it clarified further, in the sense that whether this circular already kind of makes the conclusion clear as to what the Sri Krishna committee would finally come up with when it comes to data localization.
Can you identify who is speaking? So,
this is Bhushan.
Okay, so just say your name and your company name, so just help.
Hi, my name is Bhushan. I am an independent practitioner from Delhi.
Okay, thank you. Maybe Aaron, you want to take it up since that was the time when we got kind of.
You know, the Justice Sri Krishna Committee, you know, in its white paper, you know, published a chapter on data localization. Now, the preliminary views, you know, taken by the committee, and obviously there were questions, you know, for public consultation and, you know, a lot of stakeholders sent in their comments. We see it in the report, which perhaps may come out next month by the committee, with its recommendation. But the preliminary views of the committee was that not a lot of countries worldwide have implemented a data localization requirement. Very few have. And specifically for India, India needs to ensure that a fine balance is created between enforcement benefits on one side as well as costs associated with the requirement on the other side. And this is a balance that needs to be struck. And the best way of course, doing so is obviously a consultative process, you know, with various stakeholders, you know, involved in the whole, payment ecosystem. And you know, what another point I was, you know, making earlier, I don't know if I got captured or not, is that this move by the RBI actually comes at a very critical time just before the report and recommendation by the Sri Krishna Committee. So, one is that it shouldn't affect, you know, not only the report, you know, in a particular way, saying that, you know, since it's more of a sensitive data and a secondary point, you know, to localize data on a sectoral basis. You know, the RBI has already done it. But more importantly, this shouldn't serve as a cue for other regulators also to start falling in line. This shouldn't start as a trend, you know, for other regulators to implement. What needs to happen is that the balance, you know, as I spoke about, needs to be struck, and a constant consultative process with the relevant industry stakeholders to ensure that, you know, safety and security is obviously an important issue, but industry growth and, you know, innovation is obviously another, you know, important factor. So this consultative dialogue, you know, constantly needs to happen, you know, rather than a sort of a premature law, you know, coming out, especially at this time, you know, before the committee report.
Can we have the next question, please?
Sure, thank you. The next question is from the line of Samant Kumar from Bank of Tokyo. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone, this is Samant Kumar from Bank of Tokyo. As far as with my limited understanding of the circular, I just want to understand what about the service provider who is providing me the services for data storage and all. How to find them, because they are the existing vendors and they are continuing with the license for years now. How to go about that, if anyone can.
So, Samant, very well framed question, and I think the entire industry is reading under the same question that you have right now. I think the best way forward is to kind of approach the regulator with the questions that you are facing, laying out, you know, what exactly is the background and, you know, what implications will this cause. You know, probably we will have a softer approach from the regulators in time to come. Because I think, my conversations with RBI have been limited on the subject, but what I am given to understand is they have been receiving a lot of representations from various industry players, and they are willing to kind of give it a listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can we have the next one?
A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ganesh Pandey from DBS Bank. Please go ahead.
Good evening all. This is Ganesh from DBS Bank. My question was on the aspect of whether the circular extends to all the banks. Because it says, while it has been addressed to all the banks and financial institutions and even cooperative banks, and it says that it applies to all system providers, and to my knowledge, I mean, all banks are not system providers under the Payment or Settlement Act.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And, you know, you actually nailed it. There are two legs to this, right? So the circular one is addressed to, as you rightly said, it's all, you know, it's to banks and payment systems. So the operative part of the circular, where the compliance issue is actually pointed out, it refers to system providers. Now, system providers actually defined under the Payment and Settlement Act. So means anybody who is authorized to run a payment system. And the definition of payment system is very wide. It, you know, not only covers payment gateways, but it actually takes people who are involved in clearing and onboarding and concluding transactions. So, you know, there is interpretation which can always prevail that banks to a certain extent assist payment systems in providing payment services and solutions. And, you know, I don't know, Shweta, you want to add to the angle banks play, and that's why, you know, the extension of this circular could go to banks which are helping payment system providers in providing services.
You know, I think, just to add to what Shweta is saying, if you see, the circular is addressed actually to system participants and the bank. So the compliance information will actually have to go from the bank and from the system participants, right? And that is why, you know, there is a gray area, and that is why the industry is divided as to whether it is only for system participants to comply, or whether it is only for the bank, or whether it is for both of them put together. But then what about the other intermediaries who are associated with payment systems? Does it imply to them as well? We are actually yet to see more clarification from industry bodies and from the regulators to understand, you know, what exactly it can mean.
And I think from a banking perspective, just to conclude on that, when the bank is using, but assuming that, you know, the banks get covered under the definition of payment system, the larger point, which I believe also raised earlier, you know, one of the persons who asked the question, is that how do you go and find your service providers, right? Now, do you start re-looking at contracts, you start updating contracts, submitting contracts, doing fresh contracts, which are more India-centric. So these are the questions, of course, the industry is, you know, looking at the RBI for clarification.
Yeah, and which is why the 6-month period also becomes really important, given that, you know, you have to rework so many processes, and you know, that's why we're hopeful that the RBI will come out with some sort of clarification on this.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mosmi Dutar from D.R. Joshi & Company. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Kavit. I am with my colleague Mosam from D.R. Joshi & Company. My question is that if a multinational company is already hosting a server outside and because of this they are required to have a server company in India, so if the entire data, whether a non-Indian transaction is also being eventually stored in India because of hassle-free compliance of hosting two servers, will that amount to a permanent establishment or a tax issues in India? That multinational company?
I think I will
take it, right? So let me understand your question. What you are saying is that if they copy, currently they are hosting outside India.
If yeah.
They copy the data in India, and whether
yeah.
while copying the data they also copy the foreign data, and whether
right.
having a foreign data by itself will become a permanent establishment, right? So
yeah.
None of us are tech experts here on the panel. I will give you my immediate reaction. Simply by storing a particular data, one cannot be considered to be a permanent establishment. Though
okay.
I am aware that having a server in India, there is a permanent establishment, and as a result, if you have a server in India, then that's considered to be a permanent establishment. Any revenue attributed to that particular server could be considered to be a revenue generated in India. But
correct.
The difference between that portion and what we are talking about is just a mirror copy. There is no processing which is happening in India. There is the server data is not used; it's just stored.
Correct.
Because the data
correct.
Is going to be used for foreign transaction is going to be outside India.
Right.
Storage will not, in my view, lead to any permanent establishment. Right?
Okay.
If there was no storage there, and if this data was actually being used, right, so instead of using, let's say, data in America or wherever else, they were only using Indian data, then there could have been chance that it could be considered to be a permanent establishment. But simple backup of data is unlikely to be considered to be a permanent establishment. Again, the caveat that none of us are individually tech experts, so some of my other colleagues are, but not us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Sir, there are no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for participating and having a very interesting session. Maybe we can conclude the session. Is there no further questions?
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nishit Desai Associates, this concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.